Padispadam Kaliyur.
Anyone else?
Tabaji twa kila purushottamam. Nalayam padmakariva lala saha. Yava yore kapati spido kaliyur. Naikatana yoho. Deva lala sa. Atta.
Therefore,
Abhoji, I shall engage in devotional service. Twa, unto you. Okila, all-inclusive. Purusha Uttamam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna Alayam, the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Padmakara, the goddess of fortune, who carries a lotus flower in her hand. Yuva, like. Lalasa, being desirous. Api, indeed. Avayoho, of Lakshmi and me. Ekapati, one master. Spidhoho, competing. Kalihi, quarrel. Na, not. Syat, may take place. Krita, having done. Twat charana, unto your lotus feet. Ekatana yoho, one attention. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Now I wish to engage in the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to serve just like the goddess of fortune, who carries a lotus flower in her hand. Because his lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, I am afraid that the goddess of fortune and I would quarrel, because both of us would be attentively engaged in the same service. Abmeng Shri Bhagavan ke charana kamalong ki seva men samlag rehna or kamala dharini Lakshmi ji ke saman seva karna chata hung. Kyon ki Shri Bhagavan samasta divya gunong ke agara hain. Mujhe bhai hai ki Lakshmi ji tata mere beech jagara chir jayega, kyunki hum donong ek hi seva mein ekagra bhav se lage honge. Purport. The Lord is here addressed as Okila Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the entire creation. Purusha means the enjoyer, and Uttama means the best. There are different kinds of purushas, or enjoyers, within this universe. Generally, they can be divided into three classes: those who are conditioned, those who are liberated, and those who are eternal. Again, three kinds of purushas: those who are conditioned, those who are liberated, and those who are eternal. In the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is called the Supreme Eternal of all Eternals, Nityo Nityanam. Both the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the living entities are eternal. The Supreme Eternal, Eternals, are the Vishnu Tattvas, or Lord Vishnu and his expansions. So Nitya refers to the personality of Godhead, beginning from Krishna to Mahavishnu, Narayana, and other expansions of Lord Krishna. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtishu, there are millions and trillions of expansions of Lord Vishnu as Ram, Nrsimha, Vamana, Varaha, and other incarnations. All of them are called eternals. Tatparya Srila Prabhupada ka. Yahapar Bhagavan ko Akila Purushottama kekar sambodhita kiya gaya hai. Purusha ka artha bhokta hai. Or Uttama ka artha sarva shreshta. Sangsara mein anek prakara ke bhokta hain. Samanyatak inhein teen vargon mein rekha jata hai: Baddha, Mukta, or Shashwata. Vedon mein Parameshwara ko Shashwatong ka Parama Shashwata kaha gaya hai. Nityo, Nityanam. Parameshwara tata Jivatma donong hi nitya hain. Parama nityong ko Vishnu tatva, artat Bhagavan Vishnu tata unke amsh kaha jata hai. Atak nitya se shi Bhagavan ka, Krishna se lekar Mahavishnu, Narayan, tata Shri Krishna ke anya vistarong ka bodh hota hai. Jaisa ki Brahma Samhita mein kaha gaya hai, Bhagavan Vishnu ke lakon karoron vistar hain jo Ram, Nrsimha, Varaha tata anya avataron ke roop mein hain. Ve sabhi nitya kehlate hain. The word mukta refers to the living entities who never come within this material world. The Buddhas are those living entities who almost eternally are living within this material world. The Buddhas are struggling very hard within this material world to become free from the threefold miseries of material nature and to enjoy life, whereas the Muktas are already liberated. They never come into this material world. Lord Vishnu is the master of this material world, and there is no question of his being controlled by material nature. Consequently, Lord Vishnu is addressed here as Purushottama, the best of all the living entities, namely Vishnu Tattvas and Jiva Tattvas. It is a great offense, therefore, to compare Lord Vishnu and the Jiva Tattva or consider them on an equal level. The Mayavadi philosophers equalize the Jivas and the Supreme Lord and consider them to be one, but that is the greatest offense to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. mukt shabd se un jivatmong kabod hota hai jo is shlok mein kabhi nahi aate. Is shlok mein? No, this is wrong. It's a mistake. Jo is lok mein kabhi nahi aate. They never come to this world, not to this verse. Bada jiv way hen jo is samsar mein prayak shaswat roop se re rahe hen. We bada jiv prakriti ke teen gunong se mukta hone or jivan ka anando utane ke liye atyadik sangharsh karte rehte hen. Jab ki mukt pele se hi mukt hue rehte hen. We kabhi is bhautik jagat mein nahi aate. Bhagawan Vishnu is bhautik jagat ke swami hain. Atak prakriti dwara unke samchalita hone ka koi prashna hi nahi uthta. Phalatak Bhagawan Vishnu ko yaha par purushottama artat jivatma om Vishnu tattvong tata jiva tattvong mein sarva shreshta kekar sambodhita kiya gaya hai. Atak Bhagawan Vishnu se jiva tattva ki samasta karna ek prakar ka aparad hai. Mayavadi chintak jiv tata parameshwara ko saman or ek mante hain. Kintu Bhagawan Vishnu ke charana kamalong ke prati ye sab se bara aparad hai. Here, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord is offering his prayer to another incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Prithu Maharaj is, Prabhupada will say later in the purport, Prithu Maharaj is a Shakti Veshavatar. That's clarified even further, more exactly, by Rupa Goswami in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. He's a Jiva, he's not Vishnu. But he's been especially empowered. He was born, not just developed, but he was born with the power to rule perfectly, to be a perfect king. And that's a power of God. Ordinary person cannot be a perfect ruler. No jiva has the power to rule perfectly unless that power is bestowed upon him by God. Even in Europe, that was the theory of monarchy. If you pick up a British coin, there's a picture of Queen Elizabeth II. I don't remember the Latin words exactly. Dea gratia, by the grace of God, Queen of England. So even the British currency is telling us that Queen Elizabeth II is a Shakti Veshavatar, that she's been empowered by God to rule the British Empire. But Prithu is remembered as the perfect king, better than all the other kings. And he's in the list, the short list, of Shaktivesh avatars, who perfectly embodies the power that the Supreme Lord has to rule over all the living entities. Purusha means, as Prabhupada says in the purport, Purusha means enjoyer. Every living entity is also a Purusha. We're also living entities who like to enjoy life. Even animals have a sense of enjoyment when they're not in the busy struggling to survive. They enjoy. Little baby animals will be playing with one another. Even grown-up animals play if they have the liberty, if they have the freedom, the time to do so. Enjoying life is the nature of the spirit soul. But here, Prithu is not calling Lord Vishnu just Purusha. He's calling him Purushottama. The long U doesn't make any difference. It's just a variant on the name. Purusha, Purusha mean exactly the same. But Purusha Uttama means something special. Uttama means the best. The absolutely best of anything is Uttama. The best demon, the best anything is Uttama. The Supreme Lord Vishnu, Narayan, the creator of everything, the maintainer of all the worlds, he is Purushottama, the supreme enjoyer. Certainly, we understand. This is our basic theology. The absolute truth is a person, and that person likes to enjoy. And we are meant to contribute to his enjoyment. These are basic tenets of our Vaishnava religion. The absolute truth is a person. He's not a miserable person. He's a person who likes to enjoy. And we're supposed to enjoy along with him. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. This is the definition of the absolute truth found in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. The absolute truth is a very abstract definition. The Mayavadis are looking for a definition of the absolute truth in the Upanishads. And they want a good impersonal definition that doesn't say anything about any, doesn't give any personal qualities. Because their whole Advaita theory is based, the Mayavad theory is based on the assumption the absolute truth doesn't have any qualities, isn't ultimately a person. So that where in the Upanishads, where in the Vedas, can you find the definition of the absolute truth? Perfect absolute truth, free from all impurities. So this seems to be, for the Mayavadis, a good, basic, pure definition of the absolute truth, devoid of any personal qualities. He's simply Satyam Jnanam Anantam. Consciousness, eternal consciousness, unlimited. That's the absolute truth. Jnanam, consciousness, awareness. The absolute truth is conscious. It's eternally conscious, and there's no limit in time and space or ability of that consciousness. That's the absolute truth, Brahman. The impersonalists favor such a definition of the absolute truth. But they take it out of context. The very next sentence of the Taittiriya Upanishad says, Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam Soshnute Sahabrahmana Soshnute Sarvakaman Brahmana Vipashchita. Anybody who understands this Brahman, this pure conscious, unlimited conscious, eternal consciousness, which is hidden in the cave, Guha. It doesn't mean some cave in the mountain. It means the cave of the heart. The Paramatma is hiding in the cave of the heart. Jai Shri Radha Rasa Bihari Ki Jai. Jai Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So the statement is, anybody who can realize that absolute truth inside his own heart, what happens to him? It doesn't say he merges into that absolute truth. It says, Soshnute Savakarm Kaman. He enjoys the fulfillment of all desires. Sahabrahmana Vipashtita. With that all-knowing absolute truth. In the company, in the personal company of the absolute truth, he enjoys the fulfillment of all desires. That's Brahman realization. That's our understanding taught to us by the Vaishnavacharyas, perfectly taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that perfection of life is to enjoy in the company of the Supreme Enjoyer. The Supreme Enjoyer is not a dead, the Supreme Truth is not a dead stone. He's a person, and he's not a dull, lifeless person with no enjoyment in his life. He's the Supreme Enjoyer. That's the meaning of Purushottama. We are also enjoyers. We're meant to serve the Supreme Absolute Truth. You can have the vision that we are slaves of the Absolute Truth. We're wearing this slave collar. Every one of us has the same, all the men have the same name, Dasa, and the ladies have the slight variation, Dasi. We're all named as slaves, all of us initiated devotees, and those who are not initiated, you're also going to be labeled as a slave. We're absolute slaves of the absolute supreme dictator. Krishna claims that in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Everybody's working for me. Everybody's my slave. Nobody's free to quit my employment. There's nowhere else to go. Just like if you were in a dictatorship, a Marxist economy where everything is controlled by the government. So you can't go into private business. It's not allowed. You'll be shot if you try to set up your own business. You have to work for the government. That's the situation in the material, in all existence. Everybody's working for God, and you have no choice. You have to work for God. He's the enjoyer of everyone's work. All the sacrifice, all the austerities that everyone performs, Krishna claims, I'm the enjoyer, bhokta. You may argue that purusha doesn't really mean enjoyer, you know, from your grammar and your dictionaries. But how can you argue that bhokta doesn't mean enjoyer? The verb bhuj means to enjoy. There's no avoiding it. Krishna is claiming he's the enjoyer of your work. You're his employee. He gives you a little salary, and he gets all the profits. Why? Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Because he owns everything. He's the sole proprietor. So he can claim you have to work for him. Because he owns everything. He owns all the capital, all the means of the instruments of work. Your senses belong to him. Your mind belongs to him. There's no escaping it. You have to work for him. He's the supreme absolute dictator. So with that realization, you could become a miserable, abject, oppressed slave of God and worship God out of fear. You can develop fear of God and be a good religious man. If you read the rest of the verse, you'd read the third line. Suridam sarvabhutanam, Krishna says also in the same verse. I'm also every living being's well-wishing friend. Not just, I have some friends and I take care of them. A small group of my family and friends, and everybody else I don't care for. Krishna says he's everybody's well-wishing friend. Not ordinary friend, the kind of friend who doesn't mind getting both of you into trouble, but a friend who cares for your welfare more than you do, who wants you to be happy. Even though he's the, this is what makes the difference. We're absolute slaves of God, but God is our best friend. If we realize that, gyatva mam shanti mrityati, no more anxiety, no more confusion. If you realize that Krishna is your best friend, that he wants you to be happy. Or, as the Taittiriya Upanishad said, anyone who realizes that supreme soul in the heart can enjoy Soshnute Sarvakaman, the fulfillment of all desires. Whatever you want, whatever you need, Krishna can give it to you. Acting as Krishna's slave doesn't mean to become deprived. You voluntarily deprive yourself of things that are not good for you, but Krishna gives you everything in return. This is what we can expect if we actually surrender to Krishna. The same Taittiriya Upanishad, a few sentences later, says, Raso Vaisaha. He's the reservoir of pleasure. Rasa means juice or bodily fluids. The same Upanishad previously talked about the material body as rasa, anarasa maya, made of food and vital fluids, blood, mucus. This is rasa. Or actually, rasa in Ayurveda means when food is digested, the part that's usable by the body in metabolism, that's called rasa. But we understand another meaning of rasa. Rasa is the juice of devotional service. It is the taste of loving exchange with the Supreme Lord. This is explained by the acharyas like Rupa Goswami. He's the rasa acharya, the authority on rasa. It is the real substance of spiritual life. It's the experience of having your own individual loving relationship with the Supreme Absolute Truth. And there are different tastes of rasa. Raso Vaisaha. Here's the Upanishad telling us the Absolute Truth is rasa itself. Or as Prabhupada very nicely translated it, I think getting it from his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the term reservoir of pleasure, the source of all enjoyment, the place where you find enjoyment. If you need water, you go to a talab, a pond. That's the reservoir. Or you have a tank on top of your house, 1,000 liters of water. That's the reservoir, the place where you find the water, where it's stored. All the pleasure is to be found in Krishna, the real pleasure. Foolish, materialistic living entities are looking for their pleasure everywhere else but Krishna. They're like the dogs drinking the water out of the dirty street. The dogs and the pigs drinking dirty water out of the gutter. They don't know where to find proper clean water. So all the living entities suffering in material life, they're looking for their pleasure everywhere else but the proper place to get it. Pleasure is to be found in association with Krishna. Raso Vaisaha, he is pleasure. He's the source of all pleasure. He's the reservoir of all pleasure. Then it says, Raso Hevayam Labdva Anandi Bhavati. If someone can realize or obtain, anyone who obtains this embodiment of pleasure, he becomes ecstatic. Not just ordinarily happy, but happy to an extent that cannot even be imagined. That is ananda, or spiritual pleasure. So we're also purushas. We're meant to enjoy, but we're meant to enjoy in association with Krishna. There may be some confusion in reading the purport. Prabhupada says two things. He says that there are three classes of living of purushas, three kinds of purushas. The conditioned souls, the liberated souls, and the eternal ones. That the third category is supposed to be God, Vishnu, is the third kind of purusha. There are jivas who are suffering. There are purushas who are supposed to be enjoying but aren't really enjoying. Then there are the liberated jivas who are properly enjoying their life. And then there is the Supreme Eternal. But then Prabhupada says later in the paragraph that both the personality and the living entities are eternal. So why is only Vishnu called eternal? It looks like a contradiction. I puzzled over it last night. I looked at the commentaries. They didn't say anything. But it seems to mean that the Supreme Person is always enjoying. We always exist. There's no distinction between us and God in the matter of mere existence. But in the matter of being a Purusha, being an enjoyer, only God is always enjoying. Living entities always have the propensity to fall into illusion because of rebellion against the Supreme Lord. If we don't submit ourselves to the supremacy of Krishna, then we can't enjoy anymore. Our real enjoyment is taken away from us. We're put into the prison of material world. So the prisoners also get some food to eat, but it's the worst kind of food. They also can go out in the courtyard, in the prison yard, and relax for an hour a day. But it's not much fun to live in the prison. Their enjoyment is no real enjoyment. They get to eat, they get to relax a little bit, but better not to be in the prison. It's not a happy life. There's no real enjoyment in prison life. There's no real enjoyment in the material world. The only person who actually can always enjoy with no possibility of anyone taking away his enjoyment is the Supreme Lord. Everyone else is in danger of falling prey to illusion because of his minute independence. That is the condition of the... That's the constitutional position of the jiva, that he is tattvastha. He can be under the control of Krishna's internal energy and enjoy life, or he can fall under the control of his external energy and become confused and miserable. There's always the possibility to fall down if you're a jiva, no matter what you are and where you are. Purusha also means Pureshete, the person who lives inside the city. Literally, city dweller is Purusha. But the city that is talking about is the city of the nine gates, the material body. Anyone who lives in a body is a Purusha, material or spiritual body. So we are Purushas in a sense that we are spirit souls trying to possess bodies, material bodies. The Supreme Lord is Purushottama. He possesses all the bodies. He has his own body. He has his original body, Krishna. He has many other self-same bodies. He has many other bodies he occupies, Vishnu. When I get up in the morning, I can pick a few different kurtas to wear, although I ripped one last night, so I have one less. But I have a choice. But I only have one body. I can't get up in the morning and say, look in the mirror and say, I don't want this body. Let me look in my suitcase for another one. I don't have that option. I'm stuck with this body until it dies, with all its faults. The Supreme Lord isn't restricted. He can, when it suits his pleasure, he can be in whatever body he wants to be in. He possesses so many forms, which are all also the Supreme Lord. And he can, under the influence of his yoga maya, even think that he's separate people, that Balaram is his brother, and he's the younger brother, even though there's only one Supreme Lord. And also, all of our bodies actually belong to him. We're just tenants in this in our present body. And God is the proprietor. It's his body, actually. So therefore, Ramanujacharya, his idea is that everything, all the spiritual energy, all the living entities, and all the material forms, all of it together comprise the body of God. He's the Supreme Purusha. He's the supreme proprietor of personal form, of bodies. We have a little time. I want to read the rest of Prabhupada's purport, if you don't mind, because I just two more paragraphs. So Prabhupada continues, here in this material world, we have practical experience that a superior person is worshipped by an inferior one. Similarly, Purushottama, the greatest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or Lord Vishnu, is always worshipped by others. Prithu Maharaj therefore decided to engage in the service of the lotus feet of Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu. Prithu Maharaj is considered to be an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, but he is called the Shaktiyavesha incarnation. Another significant word in this verse is Gunalayam, which refers to Vishnu as the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. The Mayavadi philosophers take the absolute truth to be nirguna, without qualities, in accordance with the impersonalistic view. But actually the Lord is the reservoir of all good qualities. One of the most important qualities of the Lord is his inclination to his devotees, for which he is called Bhakta Vatsala. The devotees are always very much inclined to render service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord is also very much inclined to accept loving service from his devotees. In that exchange of service, there are many transcendental transactions, which are called transcendental qualitative activities. Some of the transcendental qualities of the Lord are that he is omniscient, omnipresent, all-pervasive, all-powerful, the cause of all causes, the absolute truth, the reservoir of all pleasure, the reservoir of all knowledge, the all-auspicious, and so on. I think the Hindi's already been translated for the purpose. Okay, so I don't have to read the Hindi again. Prithu Maharaj desired to serve the Lord with the goddess of fortune, but this desire does not mean that he was situated on the platform of Madhurya Rasa. The goddess of fortune is engaged in the service of the Lord in the rasa of Madhurya, conjugal love. Although her position is on the chest of the Lord, the goddess of fortune in her position as a devotee takes pleasure in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Prithu Maharaj was thinking only of the lotus feet of the Lord because he is on the platform of Dasya Rasa, or servitorship of the Lord. From the next verse we learn that Prithu Maharaj was thinking of the goddess of fortune as a universal mother, Jagan Mata. Consequently, there's no question of his competing with her on the level of Madhurya Rasa. Nevertheless, he feared that she might take offense at his engaging in the service of the Lord. This suggests that in the absolute world, there is sometimes competition between servitors in the service of the Lord. But such competition is without malice. In the Vaikuntha worlds, if a devotee excels in the service of the Lord, others do not become envious of his excellent service, but rather aspire to come to the platform of that service. So, there are many who are trying to follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not all of them choose to join us here in ISKCON. There are other devotees practicing their own ways differently. There are, since the time of Lord Chaitanya, there have been those who try to follow the same kind of sadhana practiced by the great avadutas like Rupa and Sanatana. They try to, rather than follow Vaidhi Bhakti, they're more interested in the Raghunuga Bhakti. We are also interested in spontaneous devotional service, loving spontaneous service, following in the moods of the residents of Vrindavan, and especially, if we can, following in the mood of the gopis, who were Krishna's greatest devotees. The gopis were not interested in jnana or in karma or in following ordinary rules and regulations. They were not very good at that. They abandoned their families to go dance with Krishna in the middle of the night. That shot to hell all of their reputation as being in any way dharmic. The gopis are not examples of good sadhakas, of dharmic Vedic ladies. But we are aspiring to, if we can't join the Madhuri Rasa, at least we want to honor it and serve Radha Krishna in whatever rasa we are capable of obtaining. We're not against Raghunuga Bhakti. In fact, Raghunuga Bhakti is the purpose. To achieve Raghunuga Bhakti is the purpose of our sadhana bhakti. Baba Janmani, the activities of Vaidhi Bhakti, of devotional service and regulated practice, the whole purpose of them is to awaken love for Krishna in the heart. That's the whole purpose. But we have been told by our spiritual masters that we're not ready for Raghunuga Bhakti. We don't have the adhikar, the qualification, and therefore we're engaged in preparation of Vaidhi Bhakti, regulated devotional service. So there's other Vaishnavas who think that the only real sadhus, the only real Vaishnavas, the only real followers of Lord Chaitanya are those who are immediately positioning themselves as gopis, as manjaris, who have taken Paramahamsa initiation and become avadutas. Apart, outside the Varnashram system, outside all, ignoring the Vaidhi principles, and simply trying to immediately engage in the remembrance of the pastimes in Radha and Krishna. We are different than them. We emphasize in the ISKCON movement the Vaidhi Bhakti. So our philosophy is not really different than theirs. It's really a difference of practice, of application of the principles. They think that to be a real committed Vaishnav, you have to jump right immediately into Raghunuga Bhakti. And we think we shouldn't prematurely do that. Otherwise, our philosophy is pretty much the same. But they also have this prejudice that everybody is supposed to become a gopi. That, you know, the real sadhakas are those who are taking the manjari initiation. That's not actually the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that everybody become a gopi. Krishna is in the very first shloka of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Krishna is given the epithet Akila Rasamrita Murti, the embodiment of the nectar of all kinds of rasas. That's a kind of expansion on the term raso vaisaha in the Upanishad. He is rasa. So Rupa Goswami expands on that. He's the embodiment, the murti, of all different kinds of the ecstatic pleasure, immortal pleasure, of all different varieties of rasa. Krishna wants variety. He doesn't want everybody to be the same flavor. He wants that some devotees be in other rasas. So here's Prithu Maharaj. He's a perfectly surrendered devotee of Narayan. He's empowered to represent Narayan as a Shaktivesh avatar. But he's not a gopi. He's in Dasya Rasa. And here he's talking about the danger of some rivalry between him and Lakshmi, who is in the Madhurya Rasa. Not because he has any intention to move up to Madhurya Rasa and try to take her position. Prabhupada clarifies that in the purport. Prithu is in Dasya Rasa. He's satisfied in Dasya Rasa. He's going to stay there. But there's perfection to be had in whatever rasa you're in. There is a kind of transcendental competition to become the best in what you are. Self-realization doesn't mean to change your spiritual identity, to become someone else. The term is self-realization. To find out who you are, not to become someone else. So every one of us has an eternal spiritual identity that we've forgotten for many lifetimes. Not everybody is constitutionally in the Madhurya Rasa. And that suits Krishna's pleasure very well. He wants the variety of different kinds of devotees. Self-realization means to become ourself, not to become someone else. Purpose of our existence is to learn how to give Krishna pleasure and be able to enjoy life in his eternal company. That's accomplished by this process given to us by Prabhupada, that was given to him through the disciple succession coming from Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, to serve Krishna by chanting his names, by glorifying him, by doing practical, useful service for his pleasure, and by giving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the greatest pleasure by participating in his leela, the dissemination of the Sankirtan movement. This is the way we can enjoy life, and we're meant to enjoy life. We should not avoid it. Hare Krishna. So, thank you. We only have 3 minutes. Quick questions? Yes, yes, bro. Yes. Devikinanda. Yes, bro. Oh, Mike.
Thank you very much for a very nectarian class. I need to understand, you are talking about three kinds of jiva.
No, three kinds of purushas. The third one.
Yeah, three kinds of purushas.
Third one,
yes,
is Vishnu.
Yeah, sorry. Three kinds of purusha, and you are saying that the eternal purusha is always enjoyer, whereas baddha purusha or conditioned purusha, you know, they are not always enjoyer.
They're not enjoying much at all.
So my question is, the tendency to enjoy is always there, whether they enjoy or not, that's a different thing.
Yes.
But the tendency to enjoy is always there.
Yes.
So this is a little, I mean, if a tendency, then you want to enjoy, certainly.
Yes.
The tendency is there, so how is that?
Yeah, but when that desire to enjoy is frustrated, that's misery. So, okay, you're a purusha, but you're a miserable purusha, a frustrated purusha. The Supreme Lord is never frustrated in his enjoyment. And we don't have to be frustrated. We just have to cooperate. And then we don't have to be frustrated.
I have other question.
Yeah.
And that is, you are saying Prithu Maharaj is in Dasyaras.
Prabhupada says it. Yeah.
And he wants to remain there. Now, is not this, you know, dasya or the servitor attitude is everywhere in the rasa, whether one is in sakya ras, one is in vasalya ras, or one is in madhurya ras.
Okay.
There is the attitude of servitorship is always there. One cannot be happy without serving the Krishna. Mother Yashoda is serving Krishna by providing fresh butter. Radharani is serving Krishna, she is the best servant.
Yes.
So that service attitude is always there, is it not?
Yeah, so it's a good argument. You could go to the Dasya Bhakta and tell him, why don't you upgrade to Madhurya Ras? You don't lose anything. Everything you have in your Dasya is there also in Madhurya Ras. Why don't you change? It's a good argument, but that logic doesn't work. When a devotee is fixed in his relationship with Krishna, all the logic and even the good logic can't change his heart. There's good reasons to change, but a devotee who's actually fixed in his particular relationship can't do it. He doesn't want to do it, and if he tried, he can't change. He wants to do his service. Hanuman wants to be Hanuman. You're never going to get Hanuman to become a gopi. He'll never do it. He wants to serve Lord Ramachandra in a particular way. And a servant who has a real relationship with Krishna wants to continue serving in that relationship.
So that's period. They don't want to, there are no desire to go up. That's it.
Yeah, and all you've got good reasons to convince them otherwise, but it won't work. They can't be changed. Okay. Narari Gupta, yeah. But we're out of time, so I think. Yes, ma'am.
You said that you mentioned the jivas always have this propensity to fall down. But Srila Prabhupada in the purport describes that the muktas never fall.
They never came to the material world.
Never.
But he didn't say they never could ever. They never can in the future. He didn't say that. He said they never did.
No, he says they
never.
I never
jumped off the top of that building.
The actual.
But I can go and do it right now. Nobody, you know.
Well, that's not what I heard.
Okay.
He said they never come.
Okay.
Meaning past, present,
yeah.
Future.
Okay.
They never come.
Yeah, I don't think we have enough time to work that out.
Okay.
I agree. That has to be discussed. Good point.
I had one more question.
Okay,
though.
Go ahead.
If it's a quick one. Our mantra, we get Gopal mantra and Kama Gayatri. Are these... I'm totally ignorant here.
Yes.
I'm really, you know...
I know maybe a tiny bit more about it.
I'm a, Brahma Bandhu. These are... My understanding is that these have some Madhurya connection. That these are supposed to be...
Gopal Gayatri Mantra. Yeah.
Particularly the Kama Gayatri.
Not all the Gopal mantras. Gopal is Gopal. Krishna is a child.
The mantra that we receive.
Oh, I see. Gopal is also a grown-up Krishna. Okay.
There
are different. There are at least 30 different versions of Gopal Gayatri mantras. We have the Kama Beach mantra.
Kama Beach.
And when the Kama Beach is there, that marks it that this is Madhurya Ras.
So we're getting this mantra, but
yes.
Doesn't that mean that we're all supposed to be aspiring or being led to the Madhurya?
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to lead everybody toward Madhurya Ras, but he's not expecting that everyone will go there. By offering the best thing to everyone, then a certain percentage who actually have that potential and desire will attain it. And the others, they'll get whatever they're supposed to get by the same means. By worshipping Radha Krishna, you can enter the service of Sita Ram. By chanting Hare Krishna, you can achieve all purposes. You can achieve material purposes by chanting Hare Krishna if you want to. So Lord Chaitanya recommends everyone should worship Radha Krishna, even if someone else is your Ishtadeva. Everyone should chant the names of Radha Krishna. And we're all given in ISKCON, and many of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas get this Gopal Gayatri mantra, but some get some other version of the Gopal Gayatri of the Gopal mantra. So yeah. We're engaged in the service of Radha Krishna. We have Radha Krishna in the center of our altar in almost all our temples. That's the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's worship. But you can become an eternal servant of one of the other Vishnu tattvas by chanting Hare Krishna and by worshipping Radha Krishna in the temple.
Hare.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll have to stop now.
Thank you.
Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.